Hey, Freedom Seeker, welcome back to another amazing episode today. I'm excited to bring you and another awesome guest. I love all of our guests, but especially today's guest because we have a heart-centered mission, and I know you're going to want to stick around for this. If you're an entrepreneur who started your business because you believed it was going to open doors for you, it was going to make a difference, you would have more freedom, right? That's kind of what we're all here for. But now you find yourself feeling stuck and trapped in what Claudia has called the entrepreneurial poverty. What an interesting concept. We're going to dig into that, and then she's going to show you how you can experience more of the balance side of work-life balance. All right, so let's dig in. Welcome to the show, Claudia Rucker, who is the founder of Beyond Ordinary Business. Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word freedom to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text freedom to 55444. All right, back to the show.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
My pleasure, of course. I love having guests that are here to share a true message and make the world a better place, because that's really what we're both doing today in this podcast. And so I'm grateful that God has put us together for this mission. So please start by telling everybody a little bit about your own story.
Yeah, so I come from an entrepreneurial family. My parents owned a restaurant while I was growing up. And I think I started my first business at 16. I was in FFA, and our chapter leader said, "Who wants to sign up for this competition? You have to create your own business." And I said, "Oh, of course I'm a 16-year-old. I'm seeking significance." And these really amazing FFA mentors, they were so great at helping us grow. Whatever we were missing at home, they gave to us through Future Farmers of America, that program. But it was deeply that the program is deeply based on helping leadership skills. And so leadership through business, leadership through working with teams. And this was a program that they had. So I signed up, I said yes, not knowing what I was getting myself into. And I said, "Okay, what's your business idea?" And I had no clue. But I remember my aunt had been talking to me about a People magazine that she had read, where Hollywood stars were paying, I don't know, like somewhere up of like $60 for organic chicken. And so I'm an FFA, and I said, "Well, I can raise organic chickens and then I can sell them." So before long, there I am. Chickens are arriving at the door, and though when the postman came, she goes, "Claudia, I think these are for you, but I'm kind of shocked at what is in there. It keeps on speaking." Well, there were a box of little hundred chicks in a box that were delivered by mail. That was the first business, and I didn't really know that it was a business. Maybe I felt like it was more of a project, but I knew that towards the end, when we actually had to sell the chickens to make it a business and to bring in the revenue, I had my whole family supporting me. I mean, my parents were like at church, at the restaurant, everybody was pushing chickens to try to help me accomplish this goal. So I come from that background, a collectivist upbringing, where people really come together to support each other and whatever the goal is at the time. But what I also saw is that because we had that collective perspective, our whole life revolved around that restaurant. Everything, birthday parties had to be held there 7 days a week. And really growing up, I worked from peeling the little green things off of the cherry tomatoes and strawberries all the way to working as a waitress. And it was just all encompassing when you're a teenager and you really just want to have, you see everybody around you having fun. So I kind of equated entrepreneurship with a hardship. And I went off, went to college. I studied in Texas at Southwest Texas State, and then eventually got a scholarship and went to school in Switzerland and
Oh
studied
wow.
international business.
How fun.
It
That
was
was probably amazing.
fun, yes. And we're talking about like early 90s. That's
Yeah.
when I was there. I received that scholarship and I went to go work for the man who owned the company that gave me the scholarship, that was a family friend. And there, really, I spend most of my early adulthood working for someone as a valued contributor. And he just gave myself and all these wonderful people that I work with amazing opportunities. We worked in the clothing business, and we worked mainly in Eastern Europe and in Asia. So for me, I just grew into different roles and position, and really there was a lot of self-actualization through that job. But I found myself at a sales meeting on September 11th, and really that's kind of where my life takes the first turn. And my job depended on traveling around the world, and I just could not get in an airplane. I was super afraid. So I came back to Santa Barbara, and my parents asked me, "Will you start a business? You studied international business. Will you start a small business for your sister?" And I said, "How hard can that be?" It wasn't hard to design it. We created a beautiful brand. We opened, and before long, we are just growing so fast, and we don't have the systems in place. I don't have a financial management system in place. I'm not financially literate because that's not a skill that I learned in the positions that I had. So life is getting really complex, and I have a bookkeeper. I think at that point, we were hitting about a little bit close to over 1,200,000 in a 1,200 square foot space.
Oh
So
my
it was a
gosh.
machine because
Yeah.
I came from the manufacturing world. So what I knew were systems, and I knew how to create things like on large volume. So to me, it was just grow, 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 but without real cohesive, holistic systems, let's call them. They were little patchwork systems. And that business really depended a lot on me. But what happened was, as with everything that I've always done, there has to be a purpose behind the business. So what I really loved was, how do I help my employees basically make enough money through the business and buy homes? So we got a lot of recognition from the California State Senate, a lot of awards. And at that time, when outside you see a very successful business, for me, it was probably one of the darkest moments of my life because we didn't have holistic systems. My dad fell, got a brain injury. We had a labor code change, which was going to change the way that we compensated employees. And when we actually did that, a very big group of them walked out to start their own businesses. And we don't have a school, so I have a pipeline to recruit from. We were in the beauty industry, so they need to have cosmetology licenses to be able to hire them. And I just remember just one night, I literally broke. And I thought, God, I'm a smart person. I've tried everything. I don't know what to do. And I just remember one tear rolling down. The voice in my head was like I was a gladiator in the Roman arena, and I broke. And the thought that went through my head, like a little small whisper, was, "There's no way out, right? This, you'd be better off not being here. You cannot figure this out. I'm just an overwhelm." What I have now is the words to put to that, which is suicide ideation. That's what I was going through in the moment. But thank God my husband was in bed with me. He clearly heard me crying and shaking and, asked me what was wrong. And I told him, for the first time I was vulnerable with him. And I said, I don't know if I'm up for this. And he said, "Don't worry, we'll figure it out. We always have." and I'm here to support you. What I didn't tell him was I didn't know if I could really figure out going on living anymore, which I'm today he knows and the whole world knows because I've written a book about it. But what I realized in that moment was that I had to choose me, I had to choose my values. And where I did want purpose, I wanted that purpose, but not without giving up my life and what I valued and what I wanted. So we rebranded. And, you know, I found myself again during COVID in the same space of stuckness. And that's where I understood through research is that what I had was a pattern, a scarcity pattern that I had inherited from my parents. And I was always going to get stuck in this pattern of entrepreneurial poverty, where I'm time poor, energy poor, and money poor, because I haven't figured out how to make that puzzle kind of work for me. And I think this is where a lot of entrepreneurs, especially when they're scaling, right? They got that grit, they got that drive, and then all of a sudden, it is that grit and drive that if you don't step into leadership of your team and build the systems to support you in the structure and understand yourself deeply, your values, your capacity, your energy, and really where you want to focus your process, energy, and time, that we get stuck in that cycle of entrepreneurial poverty, right? And that's usually, I feel like the best clients are the ones that know that what they don't know and will come and seek support from people like me and you, Lindsay. And so I've just made it my life mission of through my work, having that advocacy of like really championing working with people like you and I that can guide, mindfully guide that growth for entrepreneurs and really help them figure out that that step to leadership and understanding themselves, that's where it starts. That the first thing, because a leader has to be regulated, has to be grounded so that the team can co-regulate off of them. But that takes a lot of self-care, a lot of awareness, a
And
lot of
awareness. Yeah, you said it.
understanding. Yeah. And reverse engineering the business systems and growth plan to what it fits the leader in that stage of their life. Because we're all in different seasons of our life, so that will look very different. I have a beautiful client named Dom. She owns a store, a retail store selling plants out in Berkeley. And when she came to me, it was like what you said, she was seeking work-life balance and profitability. And we really had to work on what does her life really look like? What does she want? What are her values? And then we just reverse engineered different revenue streams that would support that because she needed basically to double her income. And she needed to do it rather quickly because she was running out of money. And so we worked diligently, slowly in the very beginning, under helping her understand her wants, her needs, her capacity, and then reverse engineering a business and bringing the business systems. Today, I'm very happy to say she's doubled her income. She's about to buy a business to grow and upscale the revenue quickly, so that she can basically have the profitability that she's looking for. But she's 28 years old,
Oh my
and she figured
gosh.
this out already.
That's so great. Oh, I'm so
And I told
happy
her,
for her.
I know she's 28. She knew what she didn't know. She was willing to trust, go out there and look for support. And I, you know, I want to celebrate her and share her success with your listeners because I also have clients that are in their 50s and it becomes a little bit more complex at that point, right? Because we're navigating more financial responsibility. We might be grandparents or aunts or you might be in the situation like me where you know, my dad had a brain injury. They're pushing 80, and now they're living with me. And so I really, in Beyond Ordinary Business, had to craft this business around my stage of life and that my being present for my parents and my husband and my family, that literally is my priority. But I still love entrepreneurship and I want to grow a business, but I want to grow it in a way that is mindful and it serves me.
I think too,
And
it's harder at that stage to ask for help. in some cases.
Yes.
You know, we put more pressure on ourselves to, we should know. I'm 43 years old. I should be farther ahead by now. You know, all that pressure that's going on in our mind makes it embarrassing or harder to reach out or admit that we don't know. Or gosh, what about people who've been in business for a long time because they just had that tenacity to hold on and hold on and hold on. And
Yes.
you know, I've made it this far, I can keep going. You know, it's just, it gets a little bit harder to have that humility and give yourself some grace, I think, is
Yes.
a big piece of
I
it.
totally. I'm working with a client right now. He's an expert craftsman, and the vulnerability that it took for him to say, "Hey, I really need some help. I'm not financially literate, and I'm just like basically surviving." And we sat down and we just, you look at the P&L, you look at the P&L and you map out how could this look differently for you and where is the issue? I mean, I was very lucky that through a CPA that absolutely loved and adored me, she took me under her wing. And I'm a right brain thinker. I'm a creative person. I have ADHD, but she made numbers exciting for me that I wanted to learn. And when she told me, "Hey, you know what? Here on line 16, this is where the problem is. This is why you're not profitable." And she ran a different projection for me. And I was like, "Okay, great. I know what I'm doing now. I got that clarity. I got that awareness. I can do this. I can move forward." So sometimes it's not even a lot of work that you need. Sometimes it's just understanding a line on your P&L that's skewed that is causing, the gross profit to be low. And I like to work on revenue and gross profit more than trying to kind of, what can I say, go in and see what I can cut. Because
Oh, right.
right? That a business to sustain itself needs a certain expense. And I've seen people who have cut everything and think that that's the way that they're going to be profitable and sustainable, and then come back and just depleted. They're
Well, a
like
lot of times
runs
they're
of
cutting
gas boat.
things that are supporting them being able to do their job efficiently, and that doesn't serve. But also at the same time, most entrepreneurs need a quick win, and you can't, like, I mean, easy one is often they're under pricing themselves, you know, or they're
Yes.
not packaging it in a way that is a no-brainer offer. I mean, those are easy things that you can get a quick win and power somebody to have a little extra cash flow so they can breathe. You know, you create that little bit of breathing room for them, and that. So true. Yeah.
To then come back and look at the systems or whatever it is that's missing there. You're right, the quick win gives them that hope that they are going to be able to come out like the other end of this and build a business that works for them.
Well, and a lot of entrepreneurs get into this bottleneck, like you're saying, that they don't have teams. They're at this point where they want to have teams, but they're not quite sure how to navigate between being a solopreneur with maybe a helper, you know, to really having a viable business with people and teams and so on. And there's this big gap. A lot of times they think, well, I need to take out a loan or I need this. And sometimes it's just in the pricing, it's how you're pricing your product, and you can cover your expenses or look at your personnel expenses as a P&L line on your P&L. And they're just not aware or thinking through that. And there's, you know, we just don't always know what we don't know, right? So we make up our own story and we do the best we can with what we know. And that's why you and I are here.
We're helping them navigate growth and what does that next chapter look like. And I don't know about you, and I'm just curious. I mean, I know maybe we call ourselves coaches or consultants or whatever it is, but what would be like, how would you describe what you do with your clients? I'm sure it's not coaching and it's not consulting in the pure sense of what those words mean, right?
I mean, a lot, to me, it's a hybrid because I have found that people need both. They co to me, coaching and consulting is really effective for two reasons. It collapses time and it holds you accountable. Those are the two main things people hire coaches or consultants for. So that is a big piece of it because, like you said, you're consulting them on the mindset piece and the awareness piece, and that's not a strategy necessarily, but that is a strategy, but you know what I mean. And then the other piece of it is that we also build the systems for them, like the tech piece, which is a part where people get stuck. I don't know if that's something you do too, but that I have found is very hard because, when I first started, I was only consulting and I found myself like acting like my client's employee because my heart felt bad. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're paying me. I'm giving you good advice, but now you're like, I don't have the resources to go hire the help I needed for that because I'm paying you for coaching and I really want to keep coaching. So I'm like, well, I'll help you with this or we'll do it together. And it was like, this is silly. I need to put together something where they can get the best of both worlds because they need it. That's what they need. They need both.
So I call that navigating, right? I really feel like I'm a guide. I'm a navigator. It's very interesting that you say the technology piece, because it's not usually the piece that we speak to with the pain point. But for my area of expertise, which is service-based industries, a lot of what I teach is we're creating a client experience. We're breaking it up into increments of time so that we can charge for it. And we're offering a lot of value in addition to that. So it's not time for money, just for sake, we're offering a lot of value in a beautiful experience that we've curated. And then what I guide them to understand is, depending on what their vision is for growth is, and I lean heavily into EOS and their accountability system, is this is what the business needs. These are the roles. Now you're a solopreneur, you're doing all of them, but look, let me guide you through the journey and visualize what this was going to look at every stage of growth as we move forward.
Agreed.
And
That's perfect.
you can leverage fractional support. Even if you're a solopreneur, you can leverage fractional support to actually fill that role as you need to grow, but you don't necessarily have to hire employees. Because I think that is one of the tragedies, right? Is hiring before you really even have the money or the leadership experience. If you could hire fractional, that they are actually partnering with you and you're leveraging their experience and their skills, then now you're playing. Now it gets really interesting because you're not having to teach somebody and depleting yourself. You're actually working with people who are smart, have life experience, and understand how to use technology to support that client experience, the delivery of the client experience, so you're not lost in all of this tech that
Right.
actually is not cohesive in helping deliver the experience and giving you the data that you need to be able to make really smart decisions. So that's kind of how I like to walk my clients through. But again, because I want to support them in growing businesses and not getting stuck in that entrepreneurial poverty piece.
Right.
Because I can help one entrepreneur stay out of that place, I have like that it I've won the lottery there,
Right.
right?
Powerful. I love your why. Your mission is so pure and so heartfelt. I just truly, your story really inspired me. It was very compelling. I loved listening to you share. That was awesome. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more then about the balance of energy. I mean, let's dive a little bit into that because you mentioned earlier, understanding the balance side, and that maybe they might be working a lot right now, but there could be ways that they can experience a little bit of more balance and peace without having to overhaul everything. I mean, that is a part of it, but let's get a win, right? So let's dive into that a little bit more.
So the balance side, this is where the mindfulness comes in. And it really is working with entrepreneurs who, most of my clients, they're very ambitious. They are drivers, and they honestly, when we start, they believe that they can like drive success. And they have to a cert they have to a certain point. But at the moment that they want to grow, and most of my clients are going to grow by bringing on team members. So if they have a problem, typically the script through their head is, let me just hire somebody to do this. And because I have this problem, oh, let me just hire another person. And before long, they are out of balance because they're also probably at that time working in the business too, delivering service also. So what we're doing is we're coming back and we're really looking at what is your capacity, like from a time energy perspective, and what do you have going on out in your outside world that is also going to take time and energy, and being really realistic that having that honest conversation and not lying to themselves that they could do it all, but that this is the amount of time and energy that they really have to devote for that, and reverse engineering the business plan. I'm sorry, the sales plan to that. I think that's where that's the first win. So I'll give you an example, a really, I mean, one of my favorite clients. She owns a legal firm. And she was just totally burned out. I was really struggling with the team. And what we came back and we did is we did a capacity assessment. And we figured out how many hours could we really sell of her time, considering that she has another four part-time their associates that are working with her, lawyers that need her guidance and direction. And they only work part-time because her whole thing is bringing legal services to the 21st century, which means you can be a lawyer and you can be a mom too. And that was really her mission. We had to figure out the financial piece of it, but we couldn't figure that out until she actually did a deep dive and was honest with herself and said, yeah, probably only going to be able to work 24 hours of client delivery at this moment. And we raised her prices to be able to adjust for that. And we set clear expectations for the team. And we put in a weekly meeting where we have goals. It's a very easy growth plan that we put together for her, but the team knows exactly what they need to hit. We measure it. We have hard conversations when we have to have hard conversations. But 6, 7 months of doing this, and we were able to up level the sales, keep all of our utilizations and realization rates to target. And when they're not to target, we know we need to make up the following month, and the team is on board. So now the team is working with her, but the plan is not built on an unrealistic sales plan. It's built on her taking care of herself, knowing that what her values are, and knowing that one of her values is having time to travel to spend with her grandkids and her children that don't live locally
I
where
love
she
that
can
you're
consider.
reverse engineering. It's so different from most people's mindset. Most people are saying, well, if I, and it's our culture, the hustle culture and this
Yes.
like unforgiving relentlessness of, I'm a high achiever, I'm a high performer. And there's these people who are just, I mean, even Alex Hormozi, I'll just call him out for a moment. I think he's brilliant, but I don't agree with his intensity, the level of intensity. I mean, that works for people, like you said, maybe young people or people that haven't built a family yet or whatever. And those people will do well with that. But there is a season where sometimes our life, it doesn't allow us to keep up with those demands for whatever reason. It's a beautiful like message to hear that there's hope and there's a way to reverse engineer a business so that we don't have to give up our livelihood, right? Like our financial side of it. We can still have peace and we can just kind of put it all together, working from the end in mind, which, that's
Yes,
fantastic.
and I want to say, I don't work with clients who have a sales and marketing problem. I work with clients who have a profit problem, right? And an operations problem. So I do want to distinguish that because I know when you're first starting out, you do have to hustle, you do have to do this. But that's what's caused the problem by the time my clients get to me, right? Is that they think that they're going to be in that forever, and there is a season for that in the very beginning. But what I want to share with people is, really know there's two games. One is the sales game, right? Sales and marketing, and then one is the profit game. And for me, I think because of my experience of growing really quickly, I never had a sales and marketing problem. I had a profitability problem and a operations problem, but that's where I feel like the reverse engineering it becomes like a real strength. And also understand it being proactive. If we're in the customer service industry, customer service is very reactive. And the mind shift that I like to work with my clients on is we're building proactively building a client experience. It's preventative. It is what's going to give us the freedom. We can grow and give an excellent, outstanding service because basically we understand that. We understand the touch points, and we're building the systems and processes, and then have a training program for the people who are coming into that. And they're not coming into for a job, they're coming in for a transformation. So a lot of my clients are working with students that are got their licensing. They were students, they got their licensing, and then they came out of it, and now they want to be professionals. So a lot of we have that, we hire for that mindset, right? I mean, my company is investing in you and your personal transformation. And guess what? You get paid to have that experience. So it's an internal client and an external client coming together with that client journey.
I love it. I think that's great. So, where's the best place for people to connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn at Claudia Rucker. And also, I have a website, ClaudiaRucker.com or Beyond Ordinary Business. I have a little quiz. So if you want to know where you're at and your growth journey and what are the next steps to mindfully navigate that. So hopefully people can know where they're located, Lindsay, like, and seek us out, right? At the right point in their growth journey. And that one is on ClaudiaRucker.com.
Excellent. And we will be sure to put the link in the show notes. So if you're listening, and you want to go click, you can do that easily. Well, this has been an enjoyable conversation. I know for me, and I'm sure for the listeners as well. And I truly appreciate your focus and your heart-centeredness, and you're here to make a difference. And thank you so much. The world needs people just like you. So thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay.